Now, joining me on the couch today is a man whose name is synonymous with beautiful gardens. He opened his first nursery all the way back in 1978 and 40 years later is a world-renowned horticulturist who has traveled the globe designing beautiful green spaces while simultaneously making the rest of us ordinary folk feel like we too are blessed with green fingers, even those of us who aren't, like myself. I am, of course, talking about Keith Kirsten, who is here to share the story of his business journey and, of course, the secrets to a beautiful garden. Keith, it's lovely to have you with us again. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Pippa.
Originally from the Eastern Cape, like myself, were your parents keen gardeners? Where did this love
affair begin? My grandfather, my mum and dad, my mother came from Queenstown, mm-hmm. and my father went to Queen's College in those days. And anyway, cut a long story short, my grandfather, when we used to visit from Durban, my granny, my grandfather used to grow the most wonderful vegetables and flowers in a sort of an allotment garden in the back garden.
Okay.
So I grew up, you know, going into the vegetable garden to pick vegetables with him, and sweet peas were growing up a trellis, and my gran got a bunch of flowers, whatever the season was, from my grandfather every Friday sort of thing for the house and for the vase. So that's how I grew up. So I think I grew up just always loving plants. On the way to school, I used to discuss gardens with people across their fences. In those days, the fences were low, yeah. and we swapped cuttings and slips. And I also went, my mum never drove a car, but we had a neighbor, great friend, neighbor, and Molly Shaw, and we used to go off into the country to all the nurseries, and I'd buy with my pocket money, I'd buy plants for my mum's garden and wow. had my own sort of garden right back then. So I think I just grew up with it in my blood. And then I trained in the Durban Botanic Gardens where, you know, I studied
just love
horticulture.
That story. While the rest of us were buying chappies and condensed milk, you were buying plants.
Well, I must probably did that as well. Okay. Went up to the tea room and bought a packet of $5 cigarettes or $10 cigarettes, or what are they called? Gold dollar cigarettes. Yes. I think we were 10 or 5 in a packet, you know, in those days. But I've never smoked ever since. I got sick on the first one, so never carried on. But I've always just loved gardens, and plants have fortunately been my life. Yeah. I was talking to friends the other evening at a dinner, and they were saying, you know, what they're going to do in their retirement and how, you know, some of them get terribly bored, and the wives just hope that they'd go and play more golf. But, you know, and I was thinking to myself, God, I've got so many things I want to do when I semi-retire, because my hobby is what I love doing.
Yeah.
Which is why I most probably got involved many years ago, and now again with Kirstenbosch and the yes. Botanical Society of South Africa.
I mean, as you say, it's a love affair with plants, so it doesn't matter if it's your job or your hobby. You've combined them. It's your life. So you trained in Durban, as you said, in the 1970s. I believe it was you and two friends, 1978, you managed to club together and borrow some money to open that very first nursery.
Yeah.
Keith, I mean, was it a big leap of faith? Did you have any idea at that small start?
Well,
how
I think
your brand was going to grow.
My parents were not extremely wealthy, and we grew up as sort of, you know, middle class people. And I just always knew that through gardening, I put some plants onto the Durban Coastal Flower Show once and won a fabulous prize. And then somebody wanted to buy this plant from me, and I said, no, it's my prize, Dieffenbachia in those days. It was an indoor plant. And then they said, well, I'll give you X amount for it. I think in those days, it probably was 25 Rand or something, or maybe 10 Rand. It seemed like a fortune to me. And anyway, so I sold it, and I realized you could make money out of plants. So I used to grow plants and amaryllis lilies and sell them to the local florist in a greenhouse that my father helped me build in the back garden. And then I always knew you could make money. And when I studied in Pretoria, which I studied during my pupillage at the Durban Botanic Gardens, I got to realize there was, you know, another world on the Highveld with deciduous plants and plants that, you know, you had lovely spring flowers and that there were more than just one season. Durban's one season. It's sugarcane, you know, bananas, pawpaws and hibiscus and bougainvilleas. So anyway, and all the lovely, of course, indigenous plants that now grow there that I'm very aware of. But so I realized you could make money out of selling plants. So I had this burning desire to open my first garden center and start selling plants to people and all the things that went with it. And we opened the first sort of American-style garden center in 1978. And we each borrowed 17,000 Rand. Our building, I think, in those days cost us 47,000 Rand. So we almost covered that with that. But we also did extremely well from day one. We just gave – people a lot of good service and a lot of good advice. And we combined all the things that go with gardening. So you didn't just go in those days, very much nursery salt plants, and you had to buy your hardware stuff or anything like pots and plants and pots and fertilizers and all that stuff you bought from a hardware shop,
yeah,
sort of thing. So it was like the beginning of it. And it went from that, from one we ended up with, you know, I ended up with six branches before I had a management buyout about 12, 14 years ago.
Well, I have to tell you, I mean, the big one in Joburg, when I moved to Johannesburg in 1989,
Parktown North.
You were the landmark. I mean, you were up there. If you were finding a way around the city, you had to be able to see Northcliffe Ridge, the Ponte Tower, Sandton City, or Keith Kirsten's Garden Centre on Jan Smuts Avenue. You were that big and that famous. You also were very good at building the brand in other platforms. I mean, I believe you talked your way onto television and kept
well,
going
that
for
I did
30
do.
Years.
That I did do. I had a friend who was involved with the SABC, but he was purely involved in magazine programs. And I said to him, you know, it's pathetic. There's no gardening on TV. There's lots of music shows. And there was obviously news and all that and sport. And I said, there's no gardening. I think it's terrible. So he gave me Robert Knox Grant's name. He said, you should write to Robert Knox Grant. He's head of magazines and you should just talk to him and tell him, you know. So I did. I wrote and I said, you know, it's really terrible. There's no plants and gardening on TV. And I think we should have gardening on TV. So they wrote back to me and said, well, we're doing a pilot program with Donna Wurzel for Town and Around in those days, mm-hmm. believe it or not. So bring some plants and what can you do? So I sent them a little story about maybe I could pot up a bonsai and I could do a nice big house plant arrangements and I could talk about African violets and, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so they said, well, bring your plants and we'll do a pilot, which I went and did. And then they rang back and I didn't hear from them. I went back to Durban. I was from Durban in those days, still having qualified. And I was working for a garden shop down there. And then the next minute they said to me, well, we like them. And by the way, they're going out next week and you better come and do another three. And I thought they were pilots that would just look at to see how it works. And then I was on television for literally 35 years, 35 years nonstop, even through the whole of the apartheid era, they never took noot for noot or for gardening. we went on to Morning Live and we did, you know, the morning gardening programs, yep, on a Friday night and a Saturday morning. And it was repeated, I think, on the Saturday morning. So it went on for years and years under various titles, Sunbeams and Cucumbers. And there was, Dig It. And there was, Weekend Gardening. And then there was another one called something else. I think something over, mm-hmm. not over the garden gate, but something like that.
I mean, have you enjoyed that aspect of the? Because
I have, but
I don't. But you seem to love talking about them and teaching people about
them.
Yeah,
well, I've always enjoyed. You know, I'm involved with a big student program where, through the Nursery Association, I started with the Nursery Association, a bursary fund for students over mm-hmm. 30 years ago, and we've raised a lot of money to put students through college, and I've always believed in students. I had to work hard to pay my way through college, and I've always helped and thought it's important to help students, but I've always enjoyed teaching. And I've done it through the books and I've done it through the TV and I've done it through lecturing. There's hardly a town in this city, in this country that I've not lectured in or been to a garden club or helped judge at a garden competition somewhere or whatever. But I've enjoyed it all. And now I'm devoting quite a lot of time with the Kirstenbosch Botanical Society, or the Kirstenbosch branch of the Botanical Society of South Africa. And I think everyone should become members of it because I think that you can become a custodian even while you're in your living room and in your apartment or wherever you live. And support being a custodian of our biodiversity, which is now, you know, very, very endangered, really, because of urban sprawl and because of droughts and because of overgrazing and because of bad farming methods and, you know, all that kind of thing. Wetlands are affected through too many dams being built in the country. And so I think that, you know, a lot of my time now is spent with the National Botanical Society and the Kirstenbosch branch and supporting those sort of things and training institutions, because the only way to really help make more environmentalists is to train them. And so we're busy with as much as we can through the various tertiary institutions around the country.
Keith, you've just released a new, fully revised and updated version of one of the most famous of the books, Gardening with Keith Kirsten. Mm. And just from chatting to you at the start, before we dived into the show today, it's interesting how much updating it has required. And it says quite a lot about how our approach to gardening has shifted over the last couple of decades. Tell us a little bit about the new version and those changes that you've witnessed in the years?
Well, you know, the big drought in Cape Town a couple of years ago really got everyone thinking as well. And, you know, I remember on this very platform, somebody calling in one day and saying, you know, my lawn's died, what should I do? And I said, well, just take it out.
Rip it up
and plant, you know, a fynbos garden, which is more dependable and water-wise. And also, you could just put a mulch pathway through it and enjoy your garden instead of looking at bare earth. That it and lawn that had died. So I think the whole chapter in the beginning is about sustainable gardening. It's about designing better, less lawns, and less paving, and more biodiversity.
Yeah.
And it's really about that. And it's about planting what grows well for you. The droughts are going to return. Already the minister, Lindiwe Sisulu, is talking about water. Shortages in Gauteng and in the Highveld and throughout the country, in fact. She's involved in that ministry now, and I think that we all need to really be aware of it. I mean, I live, even though I'm in Cape Town and I have a home here, I live on the Crocodile River up north of Joburg, and I've never seen the Crocodile River as low as it is now. And that's because vegetable farmers are drawing from it, the local people are, as well as the fact that, you know, our rains are coming late this year. While you're having lovely rains here in the Cape, we're having really a rather dry early summer. But it will come. We normally get our best rains well into October. Yeah. So it's a panic stations yet for the gardeners yet up in the Gauteng. And you've had wonderful rains. And I remember 10 years ago here in this very town, it was raining at the end of November. We were doing a landscape up at a big wine estate and it was pouring with rain. We're planting in the rain and in the mud. So that was the end of November. So the rains are going to be around here for a while. And, and one of the gardens in that, a couple of the photographs in that book are taken at Cavalli.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because I know you're doing a walk through the gardens at Cavalli this weekend, aren't you?
Yes, and it's the rugby weekend, so it's going to be a fabulous day because we're going to do the rugby and the wine tasting downstairs starting at 11, and then we're going to all have a fabulous lunch, and then we're going to walk around the gardens of Cavalli, which are all about biodiversity. They're all about fynbos and growing the things that do well here in the Cape. And we've even planted back, we harvested seed off the actual original property there.
Yeah.
Rhinosterfelt, really endangered stuff. And we sowed it back into areas of the garden so that it's really, we just actually just helped to multiply more of the same thing that was already growing there before the olives came and the wine and all the rest of it. So it's a beautiful garden. If you open the windows when you drive up the drive, you can smell the fynbos. You know, it's just beautiful. And everything's in flower at the moment, as well as, some of the late spring stuff and the early summer stuff. And it's wonderful. So it's going to be. And, you know, they've got a fabulous chef there by the name of Michael Degg.
Yes.
And he's doing this wonderful plated food for us. And there's an art exhibition going on as well, Rodin's body of work called Borderless, Rodin, Kane Hart. And it's just, you know, it's just about it. You know, I love people, places, and plants. So it's putting all three things that I love together. Well, except the food is an additional.
People, places, plates, and plants.
Plates and plants.
Okay.
There we go.
So if you would like to book for that, let me just quickly tell everybody it's happening at Cavalli Estate this coming Saturday, the 2nd of November. The best thing to do is just drop an email to restaurant@cavalliestate.com or give them a call on 855-321 for more information. Keith, another Keith has asked a very interesting question on the WhatsApp line. Have you yourself had a plant or a flower named after you?
You know, there was a rose that was bred in Germany. It was bred by Tantau, who are one of the most famous, along with Cordis and David Austin and all these people, breeder. And he bred a rose that Melancian's Nurseries actually launched under my name way back in the 80s, early 80s. And it was a beautiful vermilion rose. It was a novelty and it was really very beautiful, but it hated our heat. Oh, it had not been properly tried and tested, but it hated our heat. It was, the foliage burnt actually before the flowers.
Oh, wow.
The flowers were fine and it was a great picking process. But no, but I urge you all to buy the Nelson Mandela Rose.
Well, that was what I said.
Because that's Vermilion Orange. It's a Vermilion Orange, a true Vermilion. It's a novelty rose. It's semi-double. It grows tall and like the stature of the man. And it's a fabulous rose. And everyone should have a Nelson Mandela Rose in their garden.
Was that, I mean, that must have been one of your career highlights to be asked.
Well, I was asked to do that for the Nelson Mandela Foundation. And the proceeds, 100% of the proceeds of that rose goes to the Nelson Mandela Foundation to carry on his legacy and the work that he stood for, you know, the Children's Fund and all the other things that it stands for. And so that's been really enlightening. We've taken that rose worldwide. We've now got somebody in France who's going to be growing it for Europe, someone in the UK, and we're also talking with, in fact, they've already got the trial material and they're multiplying, a great big nursery in Oregon who does mail order to the whole of America. So, and we'll be taking it into Aussie as well.
And
so it's going to be great. So that'll earn royalties for some years to come for the Mandela Foundation. So it's been very exciting. And there's, of course, there's lots of others. There's a Desmond Tutu Rose. There's a Albertina Sisulu Rose. There's lots of people that you can. I've got an area in my garden at Joburg, even though I'm into fynbos as well and indigenous in a big way. My whole farm is full of olives and river bush willows, the combretums, and lovely other, you know, stuff as well. But I have got a little patch of roses. And it's all people who named people that I knew, sort of thing. Unifunda Spey is there, Esther Chalanes, and, you know, we have a whole bed of Mandela because they are trial plants that we tested for when we were going to launch it into the country. So those are available nationally now. You know.
Well, there should be an entire species, I don't know, family of plants named after you, Keith, given the contribution you have made to South African gardening. Thank you so much for coming in today to share some of the story with us.
Pleasure, Pippa.
And I'm just going to urge our listeners, the new book is absolutely beautiful, Gardening with Keith Kirsten, fully revised and updated, much more of a focus on the indigenous, the water-wise, all the
people who come on the Saturday will be getting a copy as well of that as part of their package. And they're available at all the bookshops at the moment.
It's Gardening with Keith Kirsten, and thank you so much for stepping into our Cape Talk studio in lieu of a garden. Maybe one day we can work on a Cape Talk rose together, Keith.
There's an idea.